about this. You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
So, Lisa, can I get you something to drink?
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Stay tuned for your chance to win big money by naming the celebrity Burt. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WKFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you. Stop on the run.
Stop on the run.
Stop on the run.
So, Lisa, can I get you something to drink?
Stop on the run. Can't stop the run. Stop on the run.
I've had it out there here with the likes of you people.
Stop on the run.
Well, thank you, but that information is absolutely useless.
Kiss my left ball, dimwit.
Oh, we're sorry. That's right.
Emma, don't do your mumbo.
You're
first.
What do you do? You silly prick.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
Welcome to our show.
It's the Don and Mike show. And they say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Right now,
my boys.
They're just here for Rob.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob,
beware! No, I know it's only been 20 hours, but I've missed you. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. GTFO and all the ships at sea. They're sweeter and more precious than Vince Lombardi's caramelized scrotum, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode. New episode, I say, on this Tuesday, June 11th.
Right.
Phone number 877-365-3636. There he is right there, the bully. Pushed me down, bloodied my nose today.
I actually saw that in the stairwell. I've never seen anything quite so violent in my life.
I said, look at this tattoo.
He said, well, yesterday, I know you guys had something you wanted to explain. I understand.
Yeah,
but today, at this point, then, it bloodies me. I'm like Mike Tyson after the fight.
Yeah.
I'm standing there. I'm saying, please. And then he said to me, I'm going to eat your brains.
Right.
And I'm going to eat your children.
Why was he standing over you saying, I'm Gumby, damn it?
I'm going to F you too. You love me, faggot.
That's right.
If you don't introduce me, let me please say, there is everybody's favorite, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz. And let's dive right into your phone calls. Hello. The Don and Mike Show.
How y'all doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
How you all doing?
I'm just fine. I just wanted to give y'all a shout-out. Y'all kick some ass.
God bless you.
Are you effed up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, nothing like a Tuesday. You know, these are the guys I really respect because, you know, now that I'm back in the party circuit down, I will tell you that Wednesday's the official start of the party week.
Mike,
when you're an adult.
It's Tuesday, though.
It's Tuesday, which means this guy is like dancing to his own drummer, and I respect that. I respect a guy that says, hey, you know, I got through Monday, now let's start partying because it's Tuesday.
I disagree. I think he's probably been going since last weekend.
What was that?
I think he's been going since last weekend.
Yeah, it's difficult for you to talk when you bend down from the waist.
You know, Mike, anything that requires any effort at all is taxing. Really, this is uncharted territory.
How effed up are you?
Huh?
How effed up are you?
I'm pretty tore up right now.
What are you drinking?
It's only 10 o'clock.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking some beer and smoking a little bit.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, where are you going from?
Huh? We're helping my friend move to Baton Rouge today. We're waiting for him on the side of the interstate to catch up with.
Oh, it's Louisiana. Well, then all rules don't apply in Louisiana. Right. Louisiana is easy.
Every day is party day in Louisiana.
The state that care forgot.
You can be on the side of the interstate with booze and a little something else.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. See you later.
All right, thank y'all. Bye-bye. Y'all kick some ass.
Thank you.
That's great. Y'all. I was in the Kmart over the weekend and heard a guy disciplining his kids. And it was, what did he say? If I remember this correctly, because I heard it, he said it three times. He said, that ain't for y'all. That ain't for y'all. That ain't y'all's. That's it. That's what he said. That ain't y'all's. That ain't y'all's.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hey.
We're doing great, thanks.
Oh, great. Hey, good to get through to you.
Nice talking to you. Who's this?
I'm Bob out here in Pennsylvania.
Bob.
WYSP getting you.
WYSP Philadelphia. Right. What can we do for you, Bob?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was time for a celebrity burp, but yeah. I don't know.
Oh, we're bringing that back today.
Good.
Yeah. Yes. Are you?
Yeah, we didn't have any contests yesterday. We will have contests today.
Are you all happy about that?
Yeah, y'all.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to decipher, you know. I try to pick it out there.
Right.
I got a couple clues, though. I know.
Now, y'all sit tight. Remember, that contest for y'all.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay. Great. How y'all doing?
It's going great.
It's great hearing y'all back on the air.
It's great to be back with y'all.
I'll tell you what.
The show is for y'all.
It is for y'all.
The show's for y'all.
The past 2 weeks have been miserable, though.
Well, don't worry about it. You know, that's in the past there. That's not y'all's anymore.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We will, of course, as always, pepper the show with your telephone calls. A couple of things that I got to get right to.
Okay.
First, I'm going to be very busy. I'm going to be distracted during the show today.
Why?
Writing the eulogy.
Oh, yes.
I was contacted by the Witta Gotti.
Not surprised.
Greta Gotti. And I was asked, being as I was the most important person in John Gotti's life, and vice versa.
To deliver the eulogy?
To deliver the eulogy, I have ordered a brand new suit.
Mm-hmm,
I have put in a call to Shaquille O'Neal. I would like his input. I would like Deion Sanders' input.
Right.
What I would like is the flashiest mobster suit, complete with matching zoot suit hat that I can find.
Well, I think you've got two different categories when you're talking about today's modern NBA sartorial splendor and your basic mobster look. Your basic mobster look is, I think, leans towards the more traditional, whereas your basic NBA look is far more avant-garde, far more cutting-edge, far more trendy, with many more buttons.
I told Greta Gotti, I said I was thinking along the lines of De Niro in Casino.
Yeah, which I think that's...
Where I would wear...
It's the look you've always liked.
I have.
Like a peach sport coat with a peach shirt and peach tie.
Yes.
And then white shoes.
Yeah, you know exactly the look.
Oh, I know the look you're talking about. You're talking about the look he wears when they blow up the car.
That's right.
When he's walking out. That's his, like, the last look that we see with him.
And what you wear and what you say is important, because I understand that there's a little confusion over who's going to take over the leadership of the Gambino family now that John Gotti's gone, so this could be an important occasion.
And as my wife pointed out yesterday, and this is a very valid point, that I am adopted. I've made no bones about that. That's not a joke. And I really don't know who my parents are.
Right.
I don't know who my father is. I don't know who my mother is. I am, in fact, requesting a DNA test to prove that once and for all, I am
the son of the late John Gotti.
You know, with all the turmoil we've been through in the last 2 weeks, I don't want to upset our audience further, but I will tell them that in the event that the truth comes out, and Don really has a strong suspicion that he is related to John Gotti, well, the radio show will be dissolved. It will not be the Don and Mike show anymore. It will just it be the quiet Don running the family business.
Yeah.
And, of course, I will leave also because I will be taking the role of Sammy the Bull Gravano and being your chief enforcer, as was often the case in the history of the Mafia, the Westies, the gang down on the west side of Manhattan, were the Irish gangsters who really perform most of the killing.
You're my muscle.
And, I enjoy that with my overall disdain for humanity. I've always enjoyed that.
You're my muscle.
I don't do the Now, let's not get it confused. I don't personally do the killing, but I handle the muscle end of the family.
But, Mike, if push comes to shove.
Well, in my younger days, I used to, and I would be willing to do that if push came to shove. If it was some, high-ranking official.
So, anyway, over the next day or two, I'm going to be writing the eulogy, and I'll have it for you.
Mm-hmm.
At this time tomorrow, I'll be able to present you with the eulogy that I will be giving. And incidentally, I've been told I will be the only speaker.
Right.
At the Gotti funeral.
Well, there you
go.
I think the statute of limitations has run out where you and I could probably feel quite comfortable discussing the Hoffa killing, which you and I were responsible for, which you ordered.
Really?
And, all this stuff, like if you watch that Nicholson movie where, he's out in a diner parking lot and he gets shot all those times and they bring a tractor trailer. It's absurd. I poisoned his steak.
Listen,
That is all it was, ladies and gentlemen.
So
I poisoned his steak.
I'm going to take a page out of Cher's book. And if you remember back when Cher eulogized Sonny,
yes,
that's exactly what I'm doing. Now, out of respect to the Gotti family, I will not be dressing as Cher.
Good.
Right. I will be wearing my mobster suit, but that's what I'm looking for.
You will not be wearing a lovely Bob Mackie ensemble?
No, I won't.
Like they showed in USA Today with the Mohawk and the...
I shall not.
All right, I was looking for
no Botox. But just think of Cher, when Cher, as you refer to him, son.
Only you could tie Cher and Gotti together.
All my years with son.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be talking about, my papa.
Yes.
He meant so much to me.
When the DNA test comes through, and even if it doesn't come through, you're going to claim that he's your father.
I've already started to claim.
We know.
And I'll have that eulogy for you on tomorrow's episode.
Bothered you when he was 18.
Now listen, I got a message from my wife, and I'm not going to burden you guys with calling my wife on the radio on this.
For your wife or from your wife?
For my wife.
This is a message for Frida.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Stop it.
Stop just this string of robberies.
No, just stop it. Now, that's the Larry King thing. Here's the deal. She lives to spend my money. We live in, by all accounts, a wonderful house.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lovely home.
A beautiful house. Lovely. I couldn't be happier. I'm never moving. Well, she has always had plans.
Never say never.
Well, Mike, of course.
Sorry.
rhetorically, I'm never moving.
Right.
Of course.
Yes. You
who
never
knows?
Know. And you remember, it's always there for you.
I know.
Okay.
I'm not talking about just the speakeasy.
I have an empty room in my house that's wired for cable.
Right. But anyway, I like the location we live in. I like the house. And she came to me, this is partly my fault for half listening, during one of these times when it was, I want to do this and this and this and this and this. And I said, fine. So for the last, I don't know, month or so, there's been the parade of Mexicans coming up in my front yard, and every day working.
Spaniards, Don.
The angry Spaniards, and they're working, and they're digging, and they're doing all the stuff, and like she's doing stuff out by the deck, by where the grill is, and they're bricking in some area, and it's actually looking very nice. Mm-hmm. And I wake up today, and I ask you not, the house is shaking. I mean, the windows are vibrating. I wake up and I go out front, and what they've done is they've removed everything from the front yard. They've removed the trees. They've removed the bushes. What they're doing is
they've taken all your plantings out of your shrubs that you nurtured.
Well, I've never nurtured them, but
in your own way.
But they,
I know you nurtured them a few times.
Yeah. Well, that was
yellow nurturing.
I go out there and I'm like, what the F is going on? I'm standing out there, really, in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, and I go out and I talk to the guy's name is Hector. He's the
is it really?
Swear to Christ,
Hector.
I go out and say Hector.
It's a Spaniard name.
I say good morning, Hector. What's going on here? And he says, he doesn't have an accent.
Okay, he doesn't.
He says,
we are moving some shrubs.
He says, we are operating on Miss Frida's orders.
Uh-huh.
And I say, exactly what are you doing? And he says, all of this is being turned into a driveway.
A massive driveway? Wow.
And I stop for a second and I say, you've just uprooted a gigantic tree. You have taken away all of the shrubbery. You have taken everything.
I'm big into paving. Are you making more of a driveway for yourself?
Well, apparently I am.
That's good.
Apparently I am.
Your driveway is very difficult.
Well, apparently now I'm going to be living in the asphalt jungle.
Is it going to be a turnaround or is it going to be all asphalt?
Parking lot?
All, I believe, a combination.
You don't know, do
a combination. All I know is that everywhere, I went to bed last night.
Right.
I had a beautiful front yard. I had nice trees, nice shrubs. I wake up this morning, these guys, it's all gone.
They've taken it all.
In 15 minutes.
Wow.
They're out there. The tree is just uprooted. All of the plants.
You were putting on like an addition or something.
No, there's no addition. All we were doing was going to make a nice little area out by the porch.
By the front porch?
No, by the back porch.
Back porch.
By the back porch.
So this is your front yard you're talking about.
Yes, I'm talking about as you drive.
No, the front yard was not even in the equation. You didn't even think they were going to go near your front yard.
No.
All right.
No. And I don't have a front yard anymore.
Wow.
My front yard is, I mean, I've got some front yard.
Are they going to level it a little bit or what? Is it still going to be on that big hill?
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing now, is that now that they've removed everything, they're
right.
Leveling it out.
Okay.
And there's a big concrete truck in my parking lot.
Wow. Man, this is big time stuff.
I left today. And it's quite disconcerting. And I'm sure my wife will say that I approved this at some point, but I don't remember that. I mean, I'm a guy, I have very few things in life that I treasure. I mean, I treasure my family. I treasure my limited scope of friends. And I treasure my privacy.
You treasure this radio show.
My fortress of stupidity, as I love calling it. And to get there, I have to be like Superman. I have to fly with a giant yellow key, and I have to put it in. Because Superman has had his fortress of solitude.
Right.
And one of the things that I enjoy is looking out my window and seeing a nice yard.
Comforting.
A nice yard. Now, keep in mind, I never step foot in the yard.
Okay? Nice to look at, though.
I never do anything out there. I let the dogs out there, and they go number two, and then we come back inside. That's about it. But I like having a front yard.
You got to get your wife on the phone to explain what you're doing, because you don't know what you're doing in your front yard. You have no idea what you're doing. I mean,
want her on the phone.
I mean, I'd love to know what the layout is, because I'm kind of into that type of thing.
Well, great. You know what? You know where she's going to be at 3 o'clock today. Give her a call. All I'm saying is,
they're just expanding your driveway? Is that what it really is?
I don't know how you can call it an expansion of your driveway. No, it's not.
If they're pouring concrete, then it's not.
It's not an expansion of the driveway. What it is where there was the front yard,
yeah,
that's going to be now, the best I can tell, just a massive asphalt turnaround area.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
No, it's not.
Well, your driveway was always a little cumbersome. You know, you've had many wrecks in your driveway because of the limited amount of space that you have.
But understand, the driveway itself, the driveway that goes up to the house, is remaining the same size.
Right. It's only then you'll be able to, like, if you have friends over, like, for a poker party, you can, like, drive around that little thing, and you don't have to, like park.
But I don't have a front yard.
Yeah, you know.
I don't have a front yard. And I woke up today, and the house was shaking. I go out to Hector.
So you don't approve of any of this activity?
It's not that I don't approve.
Right.
It's that I don't believe I gave my approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that if I called her now, it would be messy and ugly, and we don't
want that.
We don't want that. We just want want to do a show, but I just want to say it's very disconcerting to wake up in the morning and your walls are shaking, and I'm not kidding when I say really the glass, the panes of glass of the windows are shaking because these guys are out front of the house, and what they're doing is they're uprooting everything that's in front of the house.
All living things.
Everything that's in front of the house. They're out there with the...
Is the amosite going to go right up to your floorboards?
What's an amosite?
Your asphalt? Is your asphalt going to go right up to the walls of your house?
I believe so.
Wow. Is there going to be like a little area for like a tree in the middle or something like that?
According to what I saw today, I don't see how.
Really?
I don't see how.
That's not good.
I imagine that my front yard is now going to be like...
it's a helipad.
Like you go to a Target or a Walmart on a Sunday morning. That's what it's going to be like.
Parking lot.
I got one big-ass front yard.
I'm a big believer in concrete and asphalt around a house. And I like living out in rural areas, you know that, but I've always thought, like, immediately around the property... Surround it with like concrete. Well, so you don't have any of like the little gnats, termites, bugs that get into your place.
All I know is, like I said, it's troublesome to me.
I'm weird that way. I like the idea of living like a survivalist.
I had thoughts, I said to Hector, is there any way, once I got the word of what he was doing, mm-hmm. that in fact, as Miss Frieda has asked, they're moving out everything and it's just going to be asphalt. Can we paint it green? Can we paint it green?
Or why don't you put AstroTurf on it?
There you
good
go.
Good idea.
You can't drive on AstroTurf.
That would be drag.
Can't do that.
No fun at all.
Rob, I don't have a helicopter.
It would be great.
They're not.
Rob and I think the helipad is a good idea.
Where's the landing? You can get to Ocean City in like 45 minutes.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, you just get your little bell like Greg Norman has, you know, that he takes down to golf tournaments. You know, you just have your little one. And, you know, they make them small enough just for you and Frieda. So you guys could hop in that little bubble. You could learn to fly it.
That would be great.
She's afraid to get in a car with me. Can you imagine her getting in a helicopter with me?
They make little ones that are like tiny little.
Yeah.
They're like in a plastic bubble, like the kinds you used to see on MASH.
You can put two stretchers in case you want to pass.
There you go. Have
me and Mike on stretchers.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
We can't get it off the ground. We're trying desperately. Watch out for the power line. Oh, my God.
All I know is that as a man, it is terribly, terribly disturbing.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Go all the way with it, Rob.
All right, now we're lifting off here.
Right?
No, I can't.
My helicopter's not going to hold our weight.
Watch out for the power line. Watch out for the power line.
I yield.
All right. No, it's going down. Oh, my God. You're going to hit the neighbor's house. Watch out.
Why did Frieda do this in the front yard?
Oh, my God. Oh, the humanity. No.
That's just our smoldering remains.
Man, I love that electricity sound.
Well, anyway, that's it. You know, why don't you just cut my D and B's off?
Oh, no. So you're not happy about it.
You know, while you're at it, why don't you just cut my D's and B's off? I mean, for God's sakes, taking away my front yard.
Yeah. So you don't approve of any of these projects?
I don't know. I'm sure that she's going to say I have approved.
Right.
So I'm screwed, blued, and tattooed.
I know. If we got her on the phone, she'd give a beautiful, flowery description of exactly what's happening, and that would not make you happy at all.
And furthermore, I'm sure she would say that I've approved.
That you've approved it, and then she would go into great detail about the expense involved and exactly how nice it's going to be, and you would hate it.
All I know is it's a Kmart parking lot. Right now, my front yard, that's what it's being turned into.
And they haven't even poured the concrete yet, right?
Not yet.
Concrete?
Yeah.
So you're going to have like a little...
I don't know. I mean,
you're fascinated by it.
You're asking me questions that I don't have the answer to. Tomorrow,
right.
I will have the Gotti eulogy, mm-hmm. and tomorrow I will have facts on what exactly they're doing in front of my house.
All right, good.
Today.
Good.
I will say I was very upset when I woke up this morning.
You know, it's great when you have all those guys out there working in your yard. Have you ever thought about telling them to perhaps get involved in an intricate system of tunnels? Yeah. You know, really go to town.
We,
you
secret passageway.
We're so conventional in this country. We are so conventional.
You and Wendell Hall and the Unabomber should get together because I'm getting a clear picture here of...
I can't do anything now because I'm a renter. So I have to live vicariously through you. However, I have made a couple of improvements to my rental property, putting a satellite internet dish out on the front yard.
That'll be nice.
Not really the front yard. It's kind of off to the side, but I got permission from my landlord.
Hey, that's handsome.
You know, now that I don't have the ability to, when you own your own property, you have your ability to just carve and develop and do different things. And I always regretted not doing some of the more imaginative projects that I like an intricate system of tunnels.
Oh,
like a shelter, a real official shelter.
All I know is that the only pleasure I got today, and how sad this is, that the only pleasure that I'm getting out of life these days, except, of course, coming here and doing the show, really, I got a great life. I'm very blessed. I'm very happy with my wife, even though she's turned her front yard into a parking lot. Seems the only pleasure that I'm actually deriving these days, though, is punishing my son.
Oh.
that today.
Right.
After I went outside. And keep in mind, now, this kid's bedroom is absolutely right next to where the walls are shaking and the window panes are vibrating.
Okay.
And these guys are out there with, let me count, 6 different pieces of machinery.
Right.
And a concrete truck. He's sleeping through this. So I go up to his room at 9 o'clock and I say, time to get up. I'm going to get ready for work now. Are you awake? Look at me. It's time to wake up. You know, 9 o'clock is going to be the get-go time. If you're not up by the time I go to work, then there's going to be some type of punishment. So I'm in, showering, getting cleaned up for work, and I'm actually... This is so sick.
Thinking, plotting.
I'm thinking.
Of the punishment?
What can the punishment be? So I go in, and of course, he is still laying there, like a big lump, just laying, and I start thinking. I always get the match game think music.
Right.
So I say to him, all right, you violated the rule about getting up. So here's the deal. I'm going to take a night of pleasure from you.
Okay.
What that means is the next time you're planning on going out, you're not going to be able to go out. And he immediately says, okay. And I leave the room. And then as I leave the room, I think, ooh, now wait a minute, hold on. What's to stop him from saying, for instance, tonight, hey, Dad, I have plans. I want to go out tonight. When, in fact, he doesn't have plans.
Right.
How do I know that he really has plans?
Right.
That the punishment is actually going to be able to be enforced?
Exactly.
And we could, in theory,
go round and round.
We could play this game for weeks. So I stop for a second. I go back in the room, and I say, ah! Xbox, which is incidentally in his room,
right?
I unplug it. I say, this is now mine. This is mine for a month.
Right.
The next time that you do not get up by the time that is requested, I will remove the television set.
Okay.
If you do not by the next time, I will remove the stereo.
That gets really heavy when you get down to clothing.
I said this yesterday. I will remove his record player. He has a record player. He likes vinyl. He likes, you know, doing his Sir Mix-a-Lot crap.
Ah. Right.
So, for whatever reason, what is the crazy balance in my life that's going on right now where the work situation is absolutely up in the friggin' air?
Right.
My wife is tearing up the front of our house, turning it into a parking lot, yet I'm happy... Because I was able to figure out a way to punish my kid.
Did he react? Did you get the reaction that you wanted? Did he get up?
Oh, he got up.
Right.
He got up, and him losing the Xbox seemed to be of no consequence.
Okay.
Of course, now that could have been a charade on his part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that, we've been playing the hell out of that Spider-Man game.
Right.
And that Spider-Man game for Xbox...
Mm-hmm.
It is just like the movie.
Very cool.
I mean, they got the guy, if you get Spider-Man for the Xbox, it is Tobey Maguire's face.
Wow. Sure.
It is. And it is Tobey Maguire's voice.
Right.
And you actually learn how to shoot the webs, how to climb the walls.
It sounds like a great game.
It is the best video, non-football video game I've ever played.
So I kept playing it in the store the other day, like in Best Buy. So yeah. I kept doing that.
It's fantastic.
It's really great.
So it's out of his life now. But that's the high point of my day thus far.
That's
the fact.
That's kind of sad, you know.
The fact that I was able to take the Xbox from my 17-year-old son.
It's kind of a drag.
And that's it.
Satisfying. That's really like the best part of your day. That's not a good thing. Things are not well. That is not good.
Yeah, well, and it wouldn't have been so bad if there wasn't a parking lot in front of my house. Hector, what's happening?
Hector.
I don't know. Ask Mrs. Frieda.
Hector.
Ask Mrs. Frieda. Okay, I'll ask Mrs. Frieda when I see her. So that's all I got.
Wow.
Oh, and last night I watched, we have to do a break, I watched a great show last night on Animal Planet. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Roger, boy, you're doing some serious surfing. If you have to get to Animal Planet to get your entertainment.
Well, there wasn't a lot on.
Was it mating?
No, although the movie Heat was on, and goddamn, I can watch the movie Heat.
She's got a great ass!
I can watch it a million times, a gazillion times I can watch it. But in the boring parts of Heat, I was just going up and down and flipping, and I came on the show on Animal Planet called Pet Psychic. And at first I thought it was a goof.
Right.
I've heard of this.
But it's a serious show. There's this broad, and she sits there. I got a dog sitting in front of her.
Right.
And I got the dog's owner. And the dog's owner says, what does the dog like to eat? And this broad, she sits there like she's in a trance. And they're not doing it for laughs.
Right.
No. It's serious. She says,
well, dogs eat anything.
She says, your dog enjoys the beef and cheddar.
Oh, my God.
And the guy says,
okay, what are her odds on that
spooky
one?
The owner says,
she's always right.
Okay. They bring out a cat. They bring out a cat. And the cat is just sitting on a little stand. And the girl, the pet psychic, who's not wearing like a Swami hat or anything.
This cat doesn't like people.
They're asking questions.
It's generic answers.
They're asking specific questions.
Right.
Why does the cat scratch little Julie? You know, which is one of the children.
Right.
And the woman, there's 2 to 3 minutes of the woman just looking at the cat, and the cat just looking at the woman.
And then God, I gotta watch this.
The woman says, at one time, Julie tortured the cat.
Oh.
And the cat remembers. And meanwhile, you've got the mom and dad who are sitting there, you know, and they're nodding and, he's stroking his chin like that.
Means that little Julie's going to go to an Ivy League school.
Yes, we've learned about that. I'm telling you that this show is absolutely the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That's great.
But it's on the level. I mean, at least they think it's on the level.
She tortured the cat.
Angela?
Yeah, hey.
Now, here's a girl who says she went on this pet psychic show.
No.
I did. I went on the pet psychic when the first show, they filmed it down at D.C., at Atlantic Video, I think it was. And so I was an audience member, and they had everyone bring in their cats and dogs and birds and whatever, and there's like, you know, I guess 100 of us in the studio with our animals crawling all over us, and she went around trying to talk to the animals, but it was all crap.
It was all crap.
There you go. Somebody's
all crap.
But entertaining
so
crap.
Bad. And I swear, the woman, I don't know where they got her from, but she couldn't read cue cards, she couldn't do lines, she couldn't.
She's awful.
I mean, they would say, okay, can you just do an out, say thank you very much, we'll be back in a minute with, you know, Pet Psychic, and they'd have her do like 5 jillion different takes because she's horrible.
But you did go. What kind of pet did you have, and what did you hope to learn?
Yeah, it was a cat.
Yeah, and what did you hope to learn on the show?
I mean, they asked me if I wanted to learn anything like where the cat had come from or...
another cat.
No, the cat just showed up at the house one day.
So oh, really? Well, but it still came from another cat.
Yeah, right.
What the hell more do you want?
Good answer.
Thank you, honey. The show is... I just checked the listings. It must just be on just Monday night.
That's like... You know, I think of that... you know, what's that? Long time. Down and Out in Beverly Hills. That's the first time a pet psychic was like really famous.
Really?
Remember?
So funny.
No more show.
So funny. Because there's just these big stretches where this broad is just looking at the pet.
And they got a close-up of her, like she's taking a dump or something.
They got a close-up of the animal's face. And then she says, I have... I have the answer.
Oh, God.
Okay. Clear them out. Someone asked, and it's back. A yes, indeed. No, Rob, I don't think you need a psychic to come on. Rob just wrote that. This dog likes to smell other dogs' asses.
Yeah, what's those generic answers?
Yeah. I don't think you need a psychic for that, my friend. Call 1-800-877-365-3636.
The cat is scratching Rob because Rob tortured the cat.
Right now, and we'll do the celebrity burp. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough. No? Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Bob Barker from The Price is Right, and I never listen to The Don and Mike Show.
Where is it? Gone. What happened? Dunno. They're good. Don and Mike.
You know, I don't even remember where the jackpot was for the celebrity burp.
I think it was $10,000.
Was it, Ed, do you remember?
I think we had already done 10.
10? 5?
5,000.
Wow. All right, let's be halfway. Let's do $7,500.
$7,500 for the celebrity burp contest.
Here we go. Hi. That's the hotline. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, you are, my friend. And what's your name?
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Where are you from?
I am calling from the future.
Oh, Wichita, really?
Kansas.
Wow. Wichita, Kansas. All right, let me see. Let me give you some stuff. You won a Blockbuster Games Freedom Pass and 5 free DVD rentals. The game Freedom Pass costs $19 plus tax, and you get unlimited game rentals for 30 consecutive days. Limited time offer. Hurry to your participating Blockbuster store to get yours today.
Mm-hmm.
No, Rob, no. I refuse. I know that we're backlogged on prizes. Not my fault. I'll give away prizes, but because the station has kept us off for 2 weeks, I'm not going to make every time we do a contest a 3-minute commercial for our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give all the prizes away, but only one at a time. Thank you, though. Thank you for your note.
Well, that means that there'll be more opportunities for people to win prizes.
More prizes,
right?
That's the right thing, Mike.
Your chance to win more prizes and more mentions for the clients.
Yeah. We'll do this contest a little more often, I promise. Okay, so $7,500 on the line. It's a man.
Hmm.
It's a man, baby.
Man.
And beyond that, I don't think we've given away. Did we give away any other clues?
I believe you said he was a man's man.
A man's man.
Hmm. All right.
Stand by that. $7,500. Please don't answer until Mike sings live.
I believe something from South Pacific.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this celebrity burp.
There is the burp. He's a man's man. Let me say for the record, Mike's choice of song does not in any way indicate that this, in fact, is Broadway Tuesday.
Happy talky, talky, happy talk.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Yeah!
Thank you very much.
I don't even know what that was.
I don't either.
Okay.
But it was good. Just, you know what? You know, sometimes it just comes to me, and it's, you got to go with it.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. For $7,500, who is that celebrity burper?
Well, I'm going to say that was Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner, that is an outstanding guess.
We're sorry.
And he's the only man's man I could think of.
There you outstanding go. Guess. Thank you, my friend. And over
no, thank
every,
you.
Every guess is
a clue for you.
A clue for ye. Okay.
For y'all.
We have a guest coming in a second. A bunch of guests, as a matter of fact.
That is very exciting.
Something to do with an orgy in New York next week.
Wow. Good.
We'll be talking to them in a second. I wanted to share this with you. While we were out, while management was keeping us off the air, during one of the weeks, it was, I think, what's the date on this? May 24th.
Right.
Radio and Records, which we've referred to in the past, it's the disc jockey's handbook. It's
The DJ trade publication. It's where DJs get all their information.
Right. It's the Billboard magazine of this generation, and they often have disc jockeys who are just loads, and they love giving advice to other disc jockeys who are loads.
And we've always been amused when they have these little primers for people that are in the business, and they always seem to go to the type of disc jockey who feels like being a teacher, that is so arrogant that they feel like they're going to teach.
And among the disc jockeys, I'm going to highlight two of them for you today.
Mm-hmm.
One of them we know.
Okay.
The other one we do not know.
Right.
I think I'll start with a guy that we don't know.
All right.
And this is a guy named Jim Harper.
Harper.
From WMGC in Detroit.
Right.
And he writes the following. And here's the introduction. Tips and tricks. Morning show talents reveal the secret of their success.
Oh, good.
Some of the nation's top radio performers share their philosophies and the ingredients that make a successful personality radio show. This week, we'll let you in on what makes a few more of today's top performers tick. The secret to their success.
Yeah, it's always the secret.
You know, and basically, what makes them so damn good.
Yeah. Okay, now right there. I mean, what you're doing is what these guys love, is you're getting the stroke article where they just love wallowing in their own self, adulation.
So we'll start with Jim Harper from WMGC.
Jim Harper.
Okay. First, and I don't know that I disagree with this.
Get ready to write down the secrets, though.
I don't know if I disagree with this. Make sure that you want to do this job for a living more than anything else in the world. I don't disagree with that.
Right.
Well, I do.
I mean, no, really. I mean, I think it's a wonderful way. I mean, I know it's your life and everything. You're passionate about it, but I thoroughly enjoy my job. But if somebody, came to me and said you could be, a multi-billionaire business owner and play golf all day, I'd jump at the opportunity.
Well, I wouldn't.
Okay. Guy, there you go. And I think that's good that we make that distinction.
But, I mean, I get what the guy said. There's nowhere I'd rather be than here.
But right. After recent weeks, nothing has changed my opinion.
But once you get past that, here you go.
Okay, good.
Nothing works for you like longevity.
Longevity?
And equity in the market. If you can last...
Longevity?
Yes, longevity. If you can outlast all the PDs, GMs, and sales managers and stay at one station, good things eventually happen for you. Again,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I can't agree with that. I can't.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta go over this stuff with me before you read it. You're catching me by surprise right now. I'll behave myself.
That I don't agree with.
Day number two.
Yeah, here you go. That's the first thing I don't agree
longevity
with.
Longevity in the marketplace.
Okay. That's the first thing I don't agree with.
So stay one place at one... But say it again. Can you read it to me again, that longevity? What is it?
Nothing works for you like longevity and equity in the market.
Longevity.
If you can outlast all the PDs, GMs, and sales managers and stay at one station for a number of years, good things will happen for you.
Right.
Not necessarily.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
I disagree. I just wanted to make sure you gave it an emphatic no.
Here we go. Now, here are some of the actual tips.
Meaningless.
Some of the actual tips.
Right.
Be kind to everyone you meet.
Uh-oh.
In the station and outside.
Yes.
Nothing gets you the respect you crave like being a decent professional year after year.
You have to modify. There are truisms within that. Oh, I say be nice to the people that are nice to you.
Who deserve it.
Yes. Yeah, who deserve it. Right. If you're nice to the people who are humps to you.
Let me continue.
Okay.
Be yourself.
Uh-huh.
This is the hardest thing to do in radio because it requires you to put the real you out there for everyone to judge. If you're being someone else and you fail, you have failed as a person. And they just don't like you.
Ouch.
Stay out of station politics.
God. What an idiot.
Learn what makes this business tick.
Mm-hmm.
Become friends with the salespeople and sales managers.
Uh-oh.
Find out how the work you do on the air converts to the business they sell.
Oh, come on. Now you're... Jesus.
I know. Come
Christ.
On. Hold on.
What a bunch of garbage.
Understand when the station's having a good and bad sales month. Become an extra seller and help salespeople get business on the air. This not only gives you insight into how the station's being run, but also whether it's in a position to afford marketing prizes and raises for you and your show partners.
What he is telling you is so, and I say this to the young broadcasters that may be listening at home,
the kids,
right there. What this is, this Harper?
Yeah.
Okay, what Harper is saying is so totally wrong. You help your salespeople by doing a great radio show.
Just wait, you gotta wait.
I know I gotta wait, but I can't contain it.
The next two paragraphs are great.
Okay.
Budget your time. Use a calendar and make sure you pace yourself so you can do lots of remote appearances, client meetings, and charity work.
Okay.
Now, here is the next paragraph, which is simply one line.
All right, very good.
And I can only assume that he is speaking from personal experience.
All right.
Don't get romantically involved with coworkers.
He doth protest too much. There's got to be something. There's a cover your ass line if I've ever heard it. That's somebody who was banging somebody at some radio station.
Of course.
Then don't get romantically involved with coworkers.
With coworkers.
Right after he gets done saying, you know, hey, be nice to everybody. Maybe he was too nice at one point.
Yeah.
No, but I just want to say once again, our feeling has always been on this show, you help your salespeople by doing the best show you can. And in many cases, with a show of this nature, sometimes getting too involved with salespeople will diminish the product that you're offering.
Well, they're all dummies anyway.
Truly, I was trying to be tactful.
They're just dopes. Two more paragraphs from Jim Harper.
Jim Harper.
Trying to make one new friend in an outside form of media every 6 months. A local newspaper columnist, a TV anchor,
dangerous,
a sports celebrity, someone in local politics. Over time, this will make you the most connected jock in town. And finally,
I don't disagree with any of that.
His final paragraph.
I really don't. It's something that neither you nor I have ever really mastered. And things would be different if we had, but I
disagree. They'll turn on you in a heartbeat. You know, you become friends with a newspaper guy.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's right there. You know, you're the worst thing since sliced bread.
No, but I think over the years, you know, if I'd gone a little easier on Bob Ryan, we might have had a friendship.
But, Bob Ryan is a douchebag, Mike. You might as well face it. There is no future for you and the Weatherman at Channel 4.
Let me think on that just for
never
a
was.
It's a pretty strong statement you're making, saying the local NBC weatherman in town is a douchebag, and you're, let me just, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I'm on board with that one.
Right.
So I won't try to be his friend anymore, although I always wanted to be.
Same with me and Top or Shut.
You remember that basketball game, that benefit Channel basketball 9. Game we went to, and Bob Ryan was there and kind of gave us the cold shoulder. I was so devastated.
And finally, Mike.
Yes.
Final paragraph, final words of wisdom from, we got to find out more about this guy.
Jim Harper, the big fat guy that's in the picture?
No, he's
that guy, white-haired guy.
White-haired guy.
Or blonde.
Finally.
Albino, albino.
Don't take the dirty route because you think it's easier and funnier.
Oh, chew on my throat. Wow.
Being clever will always make you the better entertainer. Seinfeld was recently voted TV Guide's number one show of all time. None of the Def Jam comedy shows made that list. Being clever will keep your career where the real money is.
And incidentally, what would the funniest episode of Seinfeld ever have been? It was the one
about, you know,
pleasuring yourself,
J-O-ing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, which is a master of your domain.
Right. You know, there was lots of stuff on Jerry Seinfeld that was great when Jerry was making out during Schindler's List.
Absolutely. Or Mulva.
Yeah, Mulva, right. Mulva,
I mean,
Mulva.
Come on.
A lot
God,
of stuff.
Dink.
So that's
what a
partner.
Roid.
That's a guy we don't know.
Pure Roid.
That's a guy we don't know.
Don't know him.
Yeah. Now there is a guy that we do know.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond, wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays with the sounds of Christmas, a gift from our family to yours, on Washington's Mix 107.3.
Shut up, Harvey.
A man who thinks, because I am on the radio, I am a superior human being.
Now, as you look at the other guys that they talk to Rocky Allen from WDVD Detroit, and he gets
Rocky Allen, who looks like, seriously, his head is just going to clean explode.
He gets like a paragraph and a half.
Okay. Right.
Then they talk to Jeff and Jer from KFMB San Diego, mm-hmm. and these guys, they got the least to say.
Right.
They got
they're in San Diego.
Two,
they don't have to talk.
Three, four, five. Five paragraphs, all they get.
Okay.
Jim Harper?
Harper.
He got 1, 2, 3.
Incidentally, don't get romantically involved with anybody at the radio station.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8 paragraphs.
Okay. Can I also make a statement? You know, we joked about what he said about being romantically involved. I just want to say I emphatically disagree with that. And I'd like to say, Colette, I disagree with everything he said. Thank you. And thanks for the chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Like it's a secret, Mike.
Yeah. Okay, but I just, you know, every now and then I like to pass along the quan.
So I'd like to point out the amount of airtime, the space, the airtime here in this magazine mm-hmm. that the other disc jockeys take to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. Jack Diamond gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 paragraphs.
Of course he does, because he is the king of all humps.
So, here we go. Do I have time for this?
Yeah, you do.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Jack Diamond, you know about him.
Yeah, how you doing? I would be, and I have to go and tell everybody right now, I was the only man that ever worked with this man.
This article is directed at us, although he doesn't mention us by name.
Yeah, but you know he's speaking to us because he hates us more than any human beings on the planet.
Jack Diamond, WRQX, Washington.
And that makes me laugh right there.
Developing talent is something our business must pay more attention to.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to share a few ideas and thoughts.
I'm very happy because I've got an enormous ego.
These have worked well for me and our morning show here in Washington for nearly 13 years. And for my work in talk radio on WMAL Washington.
There he goes.
And WABC New York.
Self-promotion machine.
Incidentally, what he does is, like if a guy on WABC has kidney stones or something.
Right.
They call and they go, who would be dumb enough on his own dime to pay to come to New York mm-hmm. to do a three-hour shift on WABC.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, thank you.
Jack Diamond would do it.
Yeah, it's great. It's good. It's great to be working on Christmas.
That's the last time he did it. You're right.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Hope all the regular stars are enjoying their Christmas vacations.
If you do a personality-driven show in any format, I think I have something here for you.
Of course he does.
So now he's the only...
He's always believed that. He's believed that for 20 years.
Out of all the disc jockeys in this article, he's the only one who's coming out and is actually saying to his peers who are reading this,
mm-hmm.
listen to me.
I can help you. Yeah, I'm going to help you because you need it, because I'm superior, I'm Jack, I'm up the mountain, I'm 2 feet tall.
Number one. Number one, and this one right here is where he breaks the rule. Be yourself.
Now what everyone should know that's reading this article or hearing you tell us about this article, he is lying from the very beginning.
He is the biggest phony on the radio. I mean, we've spent way too much time discussing him, but everybody knows he is the biggest phony in the world.
I should say that in a roundabout way, many, many years ago in the 1980s, in a very roundabout way, he threatened me with a gun. There you go. He used to have a gun, and he said, remember, my revenge will be sweeter than that. He was talking about his .357 Magnum.
And my first run-in with Jack Diamond was one day we were talking about him on the air when we were competing against him in the mornings, and his whole rap is that he's the nice family guy.
Right.
You know, keep in mind, I'm not even going to get into the divorce and you know, marrying the tambourine player from his band. And
that's right.
Putting the pictures of the, you know, and the perfect example is right here. Mike has gotten separated.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's come on and told you the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right.
He's kept his kids out of it.
Right. I would like to say I am looking for a tambourine player for my band.
Yeah.
Of course.
He has not tried.
Not a current tambourine player.
You know, and I know sometimes people get sick of it, like they get sick of me talking about my life. But I'll say he's handled it honestly. He's come on and said, listen, you know what? The marriage fell apart. He's not trying to make it a fairy tale like Jack Diamond does.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And give me that opportunity. Give props to Mrs. O'Mara also. We were saying that this morning when I dropped my daughter off. I said we have gotten through the high difficulty period of this situation, and we've done it with as little fallout as you can, and I'm very happy about that. And you know, right now it's like bring on the Asian concubines.
So so Jack Diamond has lied about himself and about what he's all about. So right there when he says be yourself, he's never been himself. This was the most difficult thing for me to accept and understand when I was a young jock. I wanted to be like Dan Ingram or Cousin Brucey. Be me? Who'd listen to just me? If your station is well targeted and you're in the right and you're the right talent for the target, talk about the real things going on in your life. Be honest. Share your failures as well as your successes in life. Process real life experiences through your talent. Not a friggin' chance this guy does this.
It's just, he's so sanctimonious. I mean, this guy, if